Be in the house of the Lord. If you will turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And when you get there, please stand for the reading of the word. Luke chapter 6, and let's pick up at verse number 35. Jesus speaking, he says, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again." Whoops, boy, I can't even believe that's scripture, can you? "And your reward shall be great." That'd be a message all by itself. Lending, expecting nothing back, and you'll get a great reward. Well, we'll get that on another day. He says, "And ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil." Wow. God is kind to the unthankful and the evil too. Verse 36 is our verse. "Be ye," speaking to us, "therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Those of you who watched the TV program, I got a little chunk of this couple of weeks ago, and it's just been burning in my spirit. And the more I prayed about it, the more the Lord added to it. So you got the outline, and now you're going to get the rest of it. First thing we need to know is, what is merciful? What is mercy? And I think definitions of word are very important, because we hear certain words so many times that we don't really know what they mean. We just think we know what they mean. I was watching the news the other day, and they arrested this guy, and the guy said, "Well, I don't know why you're arresting me." He said, "We're arresting you for obstruction." And he just, "Well, I ain't obstructed anything. I don't, you know, not me. I don't obstruct nothing, and I don't know why you're arresting." They're putting him in the car the whole time. And he leaned in, and the officer looked at him, and he said, "Do you know what obstruction is?" He goes, "No." He said, "Then how do you know you didn't do it?" "All right." And sometimes we need to know the meaning of the words, okay? So merciful is this: compassionate or awareness of suffering of another with the wish to relieve it. God knows the suffering that we have. That's why He is merciful to us. And His wish was in Jesus Christ to relieve the suffering. The suffering was... See, we really... All we have is a physical suffering that we can equate to. We really can't even get in our mind the suffering that we would endure being apart from God for eternity. It can't even enter into our own mind. We can try to build a picture of it, but it's really hard for us to conceive what it would be like to be totally separated from God in torment for eternity. So in that, God had mercy on us and brought us back to Him through Jesus Christ. And a lot of times we hear and we read, and it is, mercy is free. But as so many times we hear in our politicians, "I'm going to give you free this, free that, free this, free that." But it cost somebody something. It might be free to you, but it did cost somebody something. And we want to think a little bit this morning to build a little bit of a foundation. What was the price of your mercy to God? What did it cost God? It cost Him His only Son. It cost Him a great thing that I don't think I could endure. I don't think, I like to think Brian likes me pretty well, brother. I think you do. But I really don't think if he seen me getting mugged by a group of people, told them to wait a minute, "Here's my son, you kill him and let him go." That would be a hard thing for you to do. But God, in loving us, sent His Son that through Him, through His death, we would obtain the mercy that it takes for us to get back to heaven. Was that all of the cost it was? No, it was a great cost to Jesus Christ. It cost Christ something. I believe that Christ endured hurt feelings far beyond what we could think or imagine. Think about it. The very one that you're coming to help rejects you. That would be like me showing up at your house to help you with something, and you say, "No, we don't want your help. You can just go home. Because we don't like the way you do things." Can you imagine the hurt that he had when he looked into the eyes of people and said, "Are you going to leave?" And some walk away sadly. When he said, "All of this you have done, but you just need one more thing. Do this and you will have what I brought." And they turn and walk away. Knowing he has that gift, that's just part of the price that he paid. Not to mention the very ones who were saying glad hosannas to him on one day, the next day was saying crucify him. The ones who said, "I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you," cut and run. The loneliness and the things that Christ endured, not even to mention, and I can't even begin to bring into reality the pain of what the cross brought. And not only just the cross, I don't know about some of the guys, a few of the girls may have, but you've been in scraps before, been punched in the face, and been, you know, didn't always get the best end of the deal. Those don't feel good. And here's Christ being spit upon, his beard being plucked out. I've zipped up my jacket when I had a beard and got a whisker hung in there, and I thought they tore my face off. I can't imagine me having a beard long enough, Scott, for somebody to take a handful of it and rip it from my skin. And put crown of thorns on my head. I popped my head twice, one on each side. I know what that pain felt like. I can't imagine having a whole crown of thorns placed on my head. And everything that I knew and everything that I tried to do was rejected. And knowing what is coming, the great price, the greatest probably for me, and I would think, just my thinking, greater than the pain of the cross and the beating and going without food and water and being stripped down before he was put on the cross, all of that that he endured, the thing that I think hurt the most above all, above all pain, Jesus knowing that the Father was going to have to turn away from him. Well, how can you make that statement that hurt worse than anything? There he is, hanging on the cross, and what was his word? "Why hast thou forsaken me?" We have to realize that God cannot look on sin, and Jesus was made sin. If he will not look on his Son, who is doing by obedience, paying for our mercy, paying the price for our salvation, he has to turn away from him when he is made sin. What makes us think that in our sin, God can look on us with approval? That's a great price to pay for something that is free, but it's free to you. Now, we know and understand how that he just said in verse 36, "Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful." And he's been mercy to your transgressions and your sins, and you found forgiveness, and we see that. But now, how is that going to cost me? There is a price to you being merciful. You're gonna have to endure some rejection. Look, Christ laid down the pattern and he said, if they treated me this way, no, they're gonna treat you that way. Be ready for it. You're gonna endure rejection. Or, you're gonna give in to things that you know you shouldn't. How many of you know we can override the Holy Spirit? We can, for the like, as Ray was saying this morning in Sunday school, for the wanting to be in the crowd and not be an outcast, we'll take that. I believe in Luke, and it does tell us, it says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they," now listen, "and when they shall separate you from their company." There's going to be some times when you're just not going to fit in unless you do what they want, and they're going to separate you. And that's going to hurt. Because I don't care who you are, you want to fit in. the statement used to irritate me worse than anything is for a preacher to say, I don't care what anybody thinks. That's a lie. You cannot stand in this pulpit and not care. It makes a good, strong statement and you know, kind of, but you care. Everybody wants to be liked. Everybody wants to be loved. You take the biggest hardened criminal there is and he wants to be loved. He says also in that verse, they shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. They're going to do this. But you need to be merciful. As you try to show mercy to people and you try to deliver them the gospel, it's not going to be accepted just the same as Jesus's was not accepted. Jesus is the only preacher that I know of, and some of you folks can correct me, but he's the only minister I know of that takes a 7,000 member church and cuts it down to 12 in 3 years. What would the board do with him? He just ain't feeding us. We need to get rid of him. His ways aren't the way we've been doing it for the last 2,000 years. Guess what? You've been under the law too long. The very thing you've been praying for has come, but you're unable to control it, therefore you want to cast it out. And he says, in verse number 23, Luke chapter 6, he says, rejoice ye in that day. Now, at the very moment, Joan, that they cast you out, at the very moment they say, Rick is an evil man. He's trying to mislead people is what he's doing. That church stuff is just a hoax. They don't have no proof for it. And I'll tell you something about proof. We have become so intellectual, we have to figure out everything of God. You cannot find anything in here that is logical about God's deliverance. People who had the great army, who had the victory in their hip pocket, God said, now, take half your army away. Take another half of them away. Because if I let you do it, you'll think you did it. And I've got to work in you. But then we get to thinking, well, he could do that for Gideon, but you know, it's different today. How many times have you heard that? It's different. God is thinking, how can he say I'm different and in his word say I'm the same? When are we going to quit making excuses for our unbelief? Come on, think about that. I want that one to sink in. We make excuses and allow our intellect to trump our faith. Exactly what I told them in Sunday school this morning. I'll hold on to that. We do. If we can't figure it out, then it can't be. I don't care what God done. He don't do that no more because he ain't did it with me. So what if Elijah said, well, God, you've never licked up an offering with the rocks and the water in a ditch, so therefore you can't do it for me. I need to think of something God's already did and keep doing that and getting the same results I got back in. But as we see a progression of God, and as people desire God and people desire Jesus and people desire the Holy Spirit, as a progression in the Bible, we see God done newer and bigger things through the Holy Spirit through those people. And you need to have your faith in a place where that you can obtain this. Not a gimme list, but a list of spiritual blessings that is sent down from God out of heaven because he has ordained it to his church. Why did the Holy Spirit come? So that the spiritual man could be perfect. Is that not what he said? How many times does God send us? Just like you said, in the smallest thing, Joel, that God sends it to us and we reject it. I can't. I know a man who knows a man, who knew somebody whose cousin went to that church. And I just can't. I can't. I tell people, look, open up your heart. Open up your mind. Your God is great at dealing with heart matters and not head matters. I believe every Christian has a good head knowledge. I could say, who saves? Jesus. Who has miracles? Jesus. We know all of the head answers. We've studied the text and we know it. But how many of us believe what we read? How many of us truly believe in a powerful Christ working the Holy Spirit in you? Too busy. We just take and throw in the towel and say, that's just the way it's going to be. Are you a merciful person? Do you show mercy to others? We know, let me get the scripture. Corinthians tells us, 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." In Ephesians tells us, "For we are members of His body, of His flesh and His bones." Are you a merciful person to other people? Now, this is going to get a little rough. Rick said it, John, get on him. This morning, we need a reality check. And the reality check is that every person in this room, every person hearing this message, everybody that's in the foyer that can't see, I want your attention. We will never be able to grow in Jesus and endure the things that we're going to have to endure in life with what we're believing now. We have a very limited Christ. We're believing Him for salvation. We're believing Him for heaven. But what about for this life now? Is Christ truly number one? We know the answer. What's the answer to that? Yes. Is He greater than your football game? Basketball game? Hobby? Music? Does He have control over this? What about your temper? Selfishness? What about anger? What about holding grudges? I'll fix you. I won't talk to you. I'll fix you every time you try to shake my hand. I see you coming. I'll just turn away from you, Scott. Brothers and sisters, if that is you, let me declare from this pulpit today, you are in sin. If you are a member of the body of Christ and I mistreat you, am I not wounding Christ? There's ones that will accept this and there's ones that will reject it. And I'm telling you, God has sent it right now when I made this statement and corrected you within yourself. You know it sure as I'm standing here. This is a call from the Holy Spirit to you. Start treating your fellow man as you should. Start treating your brothers and sisters in Christ as a member of your body, whether they be family, whether they be other denominations, or whatever. This body is united in Christ. And when one hurts, all hurts. And I'll tell you what, the disclosure is not for me to look at you and say, "Well, that's my personality. That's part of my mystique. I'm the man of mystery." You make me mad? You'll come crawling. And they will. Folks will. Because they love you. And you're so stern and so hard, you refuse to be broken. Because if I'm not in charge, Cindy, if I'm not in charge, if I let this out, then I won't be in charge. And if I'm not in charge, I'm not in charge. Are you merciful? Or do you just use this stuff to get away with the meanness? Some folks can't even identify themselves anymore. I really think a lot of them don't like where they're at, but they can't remember where everything changed. And they think, I guess it just always will be this way. Not this morning. Not this morning. The Lord is here to change. Think about it. Where is Christ in you? Is He Lord over all of your stuff and your actions, but not you, yourself? Are you going in your own way? Do you find it hard to submit to the Lord? Because there's times when I have to look at you and say, I can't do that because I need to do this. Is there times when I actually might have to look into your face and say, Brian, I'm sorry, I was wrong. But boy, does that tear up the American pride. So what I'll do is I'll say, brother, I was wrong. You know, we all make sins and we all make mistakes and I was wrong. So now I got to justify it and make it not that bad. Where's our humbleness that Christ said? Where is our love when we can look into the eyes and know what is there and still turn away and say, I can't. I've got to get my point across and they'll know it. You're not Christ-like. And can I make a strong statement? When you're like that, you don't love God. You got Bible on that? How can you say you love God? When what? Come on, help me. So how are you going to show your love to God? By loving. And children, in this, they will know you are His. Because you have love for the brethren. Thank God Cheryl's not my brother. She's my wife. I can get mad at her. And I can get mad at Tony because she's my sister. They're not my brothers. Look. God hit me with this revelation and straightened me out in a minute. Do you know, Scott? She'll be my wife for some time while we're here. But she will be my sister in Christ forever. Tony and Penny, Bobby, they'll be my brothers and sisters on earth here for a while. They get saved. They'll be my brothers and sisters forever. That person at work that just rubs me the wrong way, yes, they deserve the mercy too. I'm supposed to be merciful as my Father. Well, what does it say? At the end of verse 35, for He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Do you mean you're going to present this wonderful message and people aren't going to be thankful for it? Absolutely. But where are you at in Christ? Where do you stand? Give yourself a reality check. Because look, you will never grow until you come to terms with it. Just like the man who needed Jesus to heal his son. He said, Lord, you know I believe, but help my unbelief, God. I've got some problems. I'm whacked out up here. There's something not right. My computer board's shorting out. The keys ain't hitting where they need to hit. Somebody's rewired it. I have some unbelief there. I think some things are okay that are not okay. I know you can do it for everybody else, but can you do it for me? Can you change me, God? Can I begin to be different? Can I know the Holy Spirit stronger? Can this ride, this Christianity, can this walk be something besides getting up and going to church? Sing a few songs, hear some preaching, go home. Come back, we'll do the same thing. Here comes Chelsea on Wednesday night. Here we're going to go through some questions and then we're going to get to go home. And then we can't wait for Sunday because we're going to get up and we're going to go to Sunday school and we're going to sing some songs and we're going to preach and we're going to go home to eat something, take a nap, then we're going to get up and we're going to come back to church, we're going to sing some songs, we're going to hear some preaching, we're going to go back, and we go over and over and over. Why are we going to church? Why are we a Christian? Do we believe in the power of Jesus Christ? If we say yes, which we know the answers, then why can't we turn ourselves over to Jesus? Is He interested in my personality flaws? Is He? You got it, Scott. That's the right answer. Is He interested in making me a better person so I'll be kinder to Robbie? Yes. You mean I can't, even though this person has done this and this, and I just got a grudge against them, I can't carry that? What about my self-righteousness? I mean, my righteousness. So we want to dump the self off because we already know that's wrong. What about me being justified? What about him embarrassing me? What about him? Rick won't even shake my hand half the time. He just walks past me. What about all of that? Are you not, listen, are you not seeking vengeance in yourself when you want to justify the wrongs that you're committing? Where do you sit with Jesus? Are you a merciful person? Or are you wounding Jesus? As you wound one of the members of the body, you wound him. Sometimes we get so blindsided by all the world and we don't see it. It's not that big a deal. It's just God. Look at all the people around here. I just got a problem with him. Well, that is a big problem. Paul said, so there's no schism in us. Don't let this be named among us. Are we merciful? Can we carry this far beyond what church normalcy is? This is not coming for church and songs and preaching. This is a uniting of God's family to... Now, if you need to pray, now is the time. The altar is open. If you've...